Sunday the 30th of April 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Purpose Driven Life. Sermon title, Balancing Your Life. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
Today's reading is from Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Folks, the last in our series of Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life today. I said to myself this morning, the very last thing you must forget is to bring the book off the dining room table to show the congregation Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. And sure enough, the very last thing I forgot was to bring the book. So I haven't got it here. But it's all about balanced living. It's all about building our lives. This wonderful parable of Jesus, the wise and the foolish builders. Here's a couple of questions. Who here has darned a sock this week? Darned a sock this week? This month? When did you darn it? Last year?
Years ago.
I did try to find a picture of a man darning a sock. Neil said he tried and he found one within 20 seconds. Looking in a different place to me. Who here has eaten Bubble and Squeak recently? Do you remember Bubble and Squeak? Have you eaten Bubble and Squeak recently? That's amazing, isn't it? Bubble and Squeak. A lot of people, kids don't even know what that is now. It's all the stuff we kind of put together that's left over at the end of the week, isn't it? We call it Bubble and Squeak. Who here's got a car over 20 years of age? Over 20 years of age? Nobody. 10 years of age? Yeah, okay, so we've got a few there. But we don't have any, these days we don't have anything. We just chuck it out, don't we, and buy a new one. Going back in time, 30 years ago, I've never been very good with my hands, but 30 years ago, I knew how to take the distributor cap off, dry it out in the morning, scratch the little silver bits inside, squirt some WD-40 on, put it all back together and the car would start. Can't even do that these days. If I was to ask a youngster to sort his distributor cap out, he wouldn't know how to do it. He wouldn't know where it was. We live in a throwaway world, don't we? How many of us, if it doesn't work, let's chuck it out by... How many of us, if we've got children, how many of us would still have kids left if we did that? If you don't tidy your room... Oh, well, that's it. Goodness me, Mrs. Court might have chucked me out by now. We live in a throwaway world. A world in which if it breaks, why bother? Why bother mending it? Let's just get a new one. Do you know our scientists, in this day and age with all our iPads and computer screens and TV screens, they don't only design a TV screen that's all singing and all dancing now. They think about how we're going to throw it away. That's part of their remit now. Not only to design and make and build, but to make sure we can throw it away. Easy come, easy go, and that's the trouble. Often cheaper to buy a new one. I'm amazed at the amount of rubbish that we get through in our... I don't know what it's like in your house. Every week, every single week, two big black sacks of rubbish. Where does it go? And that doesn't include cans and bottles and stuff, and the cardboard, because that all goes in the little bins. We use, we abuse, and then we throw it out. And Rick Warren says... Friends, that's what we do with God's word, if we're not careful. We use it, we read it, but when it starts becoming irrelevant to us, when it doesn't fit with what we want and where we are, we just throw it away. And I think Jesus tells this parable because we knock him when we do that. We annoy him. He spent 3 years teaching, telling, in every way he could. Our parable today is preceded by the Sermon on the Mount. Two whole chapters on how to live well, how to live a balanced life, how to do well. And then Jesus says, therefore, anyone who puts these words of mine into practice is like a wise builder. Anybody who's listened to the two chapters called the Sermon on the Mount about how we live well. Anyone who holds to his teachings. Anyone who's living with this purpose-driven life that Rick Warren tells us about. Don't throw my teachings away, says Jesus in this parable. That's what the parable's about. Cling on to what is good. So what can we learn from the Son of God through this little parable that he tells us? Well, three things, because I'm a good Anglican, so three things always. And the first is this. We've got to dig deep foundations. Deep foundations. If you want a balanced life, dig a deep foundation into God. There's a guy in the back of a taxi cab driving along, and he taps the driver on the shoulder to ask him a question. The driver screams, loses control of the vehicle, nearly hits the bus, goes up onto the pavement and stops inches from a big plate window of a shop. And the driver says, for goodness sake, he says, don't ever do that to me again. And the man says, well, in fairness, he said, I didn't realise that just tapping you on the shoulder to ask you a question was going to have such a big reaction. And he said, well, he said, it's not your fault, mate, actually. It's not your fault. He said, this is my first week as a taxi driver. I've spent the last 25 years of my life driving a hearse. Life can catch us out, can't it? Life can catch us out. I think it's interesting that the two builders both build on the same bit of land. We're not told differently. They're side by side as the houses are going up. Julie and I bought a house down in Bournemouth. We got it cheap because it needed some doing up and some tender loving care on it. And out in the back garden it had an old rusty garage. Corrugated iron. I think there's a couple of pictures coming up. On the picture on the right there is the old rusty corrugated iron. You could push it and the whole thing would wobble. And then one day I walk into the lounge one evening and I declare with absolutely no building experience whatsoever that I'm going to bulldoze, that I'm going to knock it down and I'm going to rebuild a brick built, all singing, all dancing garage. Truth of the matter was, of course, I knew a retired brickie. And he was going to come and do the work. I was going to sit in a chair with my feet up and a big cigar. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I was going to build this. So off I went. We're building, because as you see there, it's 21 foot by 14 foot. It's a big thing that we're going to build. And I have to go and get building plans. And the idea of the building plans is the inspector, the building inspector is going to come. And the first thing I've got to do is dig the foundations. 3.5 feet deep along the three walls. And I build, I dig it out, and I do it really nicely. It took ages, it was really hard work. I dig it, did it really nicely. The building inspector comes, and he's supposed to say, yeah, that's okay, Martin, start building. But he didn't say that. What he said was, yeah, it's okay, Martin, here, 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 and here. But over in that corner, I want you to dig another 1.5 feet down, 2 yards each side of the corner. And then I'll come back and see how you're getting on again. See, here's the point. Here's the thing that he knew that I didn't. Over in the corner was soft, fluffy, topsoil soil. Even though I had dug it the same depth all around, over in that corner, I hadn't hit the hard soil. And if I'd started putting my blocks and my bricks on top of that, the whole thing would have just sunk into the ground. Guys, foundations are really important. In our leadership meeting this month, we watched Bill Hybels pray a prayer in front of his 20,000 or whatever he's got there. And it was a prayer from his heart. And it was a prayer for all those who sit in a church week in and week out. Good, honest people, he called them. People who sit in church, but people who have never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. People who have never worked out what their God-given purpose was. And so people who had never enjoyed the thrill of the ride of partnering with God and seeing miracles happen. People who had never carved out the time for their Bible. And so as a result of that, they've never heard Jesus speak through the Bible. Just never heard his voice through the Word of God. They think it's just another book. People who have never put a hand on the shoulder of a friend and prayed for healing and seen some miracle. The miracle of healing. I've only seen it a couple of times. I've prayed for thousands of people for healing. And I've only seen healing a couple of times. But my word, when it happens, it changes the rest of your life. People who have never given a word of prophecy to help somebody else because their connection with God is simply too shallow. They're never quiet enough to hear the still small voice. The passage is not wrong. First there's an earthquake, then there's a fire and a huge wind and that. But God's not in the hustle and the bustle of life. He's in the still small voice of the peace and the quiet. And we've got to sit in the peace and the quiet. As I look at my own Christian walk, I know that there are times when I've been like that. Coming to church, hearing God's word, but only skimming the surface with it. Never delving deeply into it. In Luke 24, Jesus appears to his disciples. You remember, he appears to them twice. He appears to them on the road to Emmaus. And then he appears to them in the upper room. On both occasions, Luke points out the very first thing that Jesus wants to do is open the scriptures and dig deeper foundations. We know it in life. If we're going to do anything, if we're painting our house or growing a tomato, it takes time of preparation, planning, focus, effort. And Rick Warren asks, do we put the same effort into our foundations with God? Folks, we need to dig deep foundations with God if we're going to live well with God. And then number two, we need to look into the future. What was wrong with the foolish builder? The foolish builder is just too hasty, isn't he? Just wants to get it done. He wants to get the deck chair out, sit on the patio, drink the beer and watch the sunset go down. He wants to chill and relax. So easily done. So easily done in life. Guy walks into a pub. He goes up to the barmaid. He says, I shall have 10 whiskies. The barmaid starts pouring the 10 whiskies. As soon as she's pouring them, he's banging them back. She says, you're drinking really quickly. He said, you would drink really quickly if you've got what I've got. And she says, why, what have you got? He says, about 20p. Living in the here and now. Thinking only of today. But it's foolishness, says God. And it goes hand in hand with digging deeper. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he talks about us becoming mature in Christ. If you want cheese to mature or wine to mature or whatever it is, it takes time. He says, be mature so that you're not tossed back and forth by the waves of life, because the waves are coming. Build a house and one day the wind will come and the rain will fall. And the foolish builder never stops long enough to ask himself, is this strong enough, what I'm building? Is it strong enough to withstand the winds of life? The storm that's going to come. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These are words that every single person in this room knows in their heart. We could repeat them all the time. Have we ever stopped to listen to them? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Wow. That's faith, isn't it? In a loving God. Thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. David didn't write those words when he was walking through that valley. He wrote those words because he knew that one day he will walk through that valley. And he knew that he had dug deep enough foundations. He didn't turn to God for the here and now. He turned to God for his future. He trusted God to be able to put his life into God's hands and know that even if he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil. And you and I need to ask ourselves, what is our faith built on? What does the cross of Christ really mean to us? What is our part in God's salvation plan? What do we think about life after death? Because whenever death comes, whether it's our own or the death of a loved one, we want to know, don't we? We want the faith of King David that knows it's going to be okay, don't we? And the sad truth is that you and I know people who walk away from God. They come into church, they spring up quickly. Like the seed that fell on the rocks, they spring up quickly. But as soon as trouble comes, as soon as their diary pulls them in a different direction, as soon as something bad happens in the family, they just walk away from church. Look up, says Jesus. Know that trouble will come. And dig a root deep enough. Put your foundations deep enough. So that you're not on the fluffy topsoil and the building won't collapse. Make sure you've gone deep enough in me. And it's a wonderful question. I want you to ask your neighbour. Turn to your neighbour and ask your neighbour, are your roots deep enough in Jesus to hold you for the storm of life? Ask your neighbour. Ask your neighbour. Jung, you might have to shuffle along to ask somebody. Friends, do you know that Jesus is desperate for us to have deep roots, deep foundation? He's desperate for that. And we can't do it if we're too hasty. If we build our lives just to get our lives built. If we only live in the here and now. If we live day to day. There's a lovely story of a nun in a convent somewhere in Italy. True story. And in the convent, they had to spend an hour of prayer every morning, an hour of prayer. And they were given, like, you know those old egg timers with the sand in, the little thing, and the sand runs from the top ones into the bottom ones. You know what I'm talking about. And they were given an hour egg timer for their time of prayer. And they had to take it in and start praying. And she was caught shaking her egg timer, trying to get her egg timer to get the sand through quicker so that she could get out and do whatever she wanted to do. It's a lovely story. Friends, that is not digging a deep foundation into God. Her heart is all wrong. We don't have quiet time in order that we suffer, in order that we have to sit here for however long it is and then get it done and get it on with our rest of our day. Quiet time is a gift from God. Quiet time, your quiet time, is a gift from God. When God can refresh you and rebuild you, when God can say something to you that he can't say the rest of the time when you're running around like a headless chicken because the world is a manic place. Outside, if we look around, it's beautiful. Sun is shining, flowers are coming up, birds are nesting. I love this time of the year. It's springtime, time of new life, new growth. Means Mrs. Court's got to get the grass cutter out and cut the grass again. But it's okay. I'll make her a cup of tea when she's done it. That's right. Loving husband. And knowing the British weather, we're not going to get a summer. It's going to jump straight to winter. Guys, Jesus is asking, do you know that winter's coming? And are you prepared for it? Spiritually, he means. And then lastly, Paul says this, life is better together. He said this in Ephesians chapter 2. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We've got a fantastic thing that the kids have done there from 1 Corinthians. We're being built into this spiritual body. Often the parable of the wise and foolish builders is taken to be individualistic. We read it as if God is talking to us and us alone. But it's come after two chapters of him telling us about how to live in community, how to live with each other well and how to live with God well. We want to be Christ-like, don't we? The strap line here at St. Chad's is, let's be Christ inside and out. Not only for our own heavenly future, but to form part of Christ's body here on earth, to join his mission to the world here on earth, here in Chadwell Heath. Like a little colony of ants. The idea is that we all work together. Fantastic. I went into the craft morning. It was great to see so many of the church family there doing all sorts of things. And some of them were just deliberately there to speak to the parents. It's brilliant. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, God's family is a pillar and a foundation of truth for the world. Rick Warren has told us clearly throughout the whole series, we cannot fulfill God's purposes alone. Romans 12 and verse 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and our members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Friends, you are not just a name on an electoral roll. We are all of us vital for the work of God. Our mission in this church is to grow deeper in Christ, to put foundations down in Jesus Christ, and our vision is for us to go out and transform Chadwell Heath. And each of us has a part to play in that mission and that vision. And we're back to our purpose, living a purpose-driven life, as Rick Warren says. And it's by understanding the love that God has for us, by seeing his hand guiding us, and by us bathing in his light, that we are able to reflect that light onto others. And it's not surprising that the call for us to be the light of the world comes deep within that Sermon on the Mount, that teaching about how to live a balanced life well. And then Jesus tells this parable and he asks this question, what are you building your life on? Are your foundations deep enough and strong enough? Are you a wise builder in the Word of God? And do you know that we're being built into the body of Christ to be a light to the nations and salt to the world? Friends, we've got to dig deep foundations. But when we do, doesn't matter whether it rains or shines, we will be able to say with King David, yea, even if I one day have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, I pray that we wouldn't just come along to church and skim the surface. I pray that we wouldn't be the people that Bill Hybels was praying for. I pray that we would be people who do know the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. I pray we would be people who do have testimony of the miracles that we see every week. Because that's what it's like to live with you. Never a week goes by without a miracle being seen. You are a great God and you long to partner with us, but in order to do that, we've got to dig deep foundations in you. We mustn't be too hasty. We've got to look to the future. We've got to know this life is more than today. And we've got to reach out deep enough into you for our tomorrows as well. Would you bless us, Lord? Would you strengthen us as a church? And would you grow us in your love, for your grace, for your glory, and for your purposes in this place and beyond? We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.